You're listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hey there, everybody. This is Martin Bruda here from the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show. This is going to be a fun little adventure here because Dan's usually the man manning the board here, but it's us today. And already my USB key with the theme didn't work, so we're madly frantically downloading a previous episode. As always, I got Chris Gilpin here with us. How you doing, Chris?
Good.
Excellent. And of course, Sam Tweedle.
How are you doing, Sam? Oh, I'm really happy today. I'm just really happy to be here. I'm happy to be with you guys. I had a crazy week and I'm here with my friends and things are good now.
Excellent. So, that's good.
That's right.
It's Friday.
And it feels
like...
You
mentioned that it is Friday and not Saturday.
That's right.
Yes, yes. For the summer session, we've changed from Saturday at 8 to Friday at 8. So a lot of our listeners are listening online. So yeah. If you go to heykidscomics.ca, you'll always find the latest episodes there. We kind of changed the website around a little bit. So the current episodes on the front page... You can drill down a few pages down to get to the other episode, so it should be good.
How many weeks has it been since we did an episode? I mean, it seems like a long time. I wasn't at the last two.
Two
either,
or three.
Yeah, okay.
Two or three.
Yeah, it seems like a lot's happened since then.
So what has happened in comics last two or three weeks there, Sam?
Well, we had Free Comic Book Day.
Free Comic Book Day.
That was exciting.
It was.
So, of course, first weekend of May every year. It's a Free Comic Book Day in the local comic shops in your neighborhood, and they order in some comics, and they'll give them to you for free. And usually, depending on where you go, they'll have a little party for the kids. A little where'd we go? We went to
CBA.
Yeah, so they had a barbecue and they had cupcakes.
Unfortunately, we were there a little too late to see a lot of the festivities. Apparently, they had like the Ghostbusters showed up.
Yep.
And they had a Dalek that was zipping around the parking lot and some people in costumes, but...
There you go.
We were doing the rounds.
Yeah, but, you know, it was still busy. Even though there wasn't much going on by the time we got there, there were still so many people there.
Yeah.
It was the most people I saw in CBA just looking for comics. Yeah. So it was really fun.
Excellent.
And right afterwards, we went and we hit up Civil War, which was that was a lot of fun.
It was.
Yeah.
Yep. Avengers Civil War. It was really good.
You're still on that, are you?
I am.
I got to tell you, the one thing that I was most excited about was the kid. I can't remember what his name is. It's playing the new Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the kid that's playing Aunt May.
Aunt May.
That's not Aunt May.
No, she's too hot to be Aunt May.
Marissa Tomei is
But really, I mean, people are talking about, like, do we need another Spider-Man reboot? Even I've asked it myself. And I everyone's listening to me talk about how I'm sick of superhero movies, but the soft spot for me is always Spider-Man. I'm always ready for a new Spider-Man movie. And when I saw the new kid, I can't remember what his name is, but I like him so much more than the last kid who played him.
Yeah, Garfield.
Andrew Garfield. Andrew Garfield was okay, but he was just a little too hipster for me.
Yeah, but too tall.
Too good looking.
Carrying around a skateboard.
Yeah, too cool. Yeah. But this new guy, he's like a young Tobey Maguire all over again.
He's a little geeky guy.
Yeah, and it was perfect. He was just perfect.
Yeah, I think it was just bang on. It was really good.
Yeah, and I loved seeing Black Panther.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even my 11-year-old daughter was like, okay, Dad, there has to be a Black Widow movie and there has to be a Black Panther movie because both of those were absolutely amazing and deserve their own flick.
Yeah, I've never... Black Panther's never been a character I've ever been interested in. But that's one of the beauty. I think that's the strength of a Marvel movie, is that if they can put a character on the screen that makes you want to read that character if you've never read him. Like, I never read an Iron Man comic in my life until the first Iron Man movie came out. I never read a Thor comic until the first Thor movie came out. And the other day, I read my first Black Panther movie book after seeing Black Panther on the Avengers. So that was cool.
Just for the record, Tom Holland.
Tom Holland, he's the new...
He's the new Peter
what else is? Who is he? What else has he done?
I want to say...
What's his story?
I think he was in something like...
With Harrison Ford, was he not the... No, I'm maybe thinking of somebody else.
I'm not sure. We're going to frantically Google that.
Yeah.
But did you read the new Black Panther comic book?
Yeah, I read that the
you
other
grabbed
day.
Grabbed issue one?
Yeah.
Well, that was pretty good.
It was pretty good. I mean, I really liked that.
Issue two is supposed to be out.
I'm not 100% sure I know what's going on, but it was fantastic. It was just solid. So
yeah, it was a really good comic.
I'm looking forward to the Black Panther movie now.
There we go.
So. He's literally, like, he's not the kid I was thinking of. Ender's Game, that was a kid I was thinking I was totally off.
Oh, yeah.
But no, he's been in a few plays, and he's just fresh off the boat. Yeah,
he's
like,
fantastic. He's so much fun.
Yeah.
And just so you know, don't be impatient like our friend Dan was, who wanted to go. Stay till the end of the credits, because something cool happens.
Yes.
That's all I'm going to say, but it's so worth it.
Well, you would think that after all these years of Marvel movies, people would realize to sit down and park your bottom and wait for the credits.
Did you know Dan, this is not our friend Dan Collins, this is our other friend Dan, he did not know. I looked at him at the movie and I said, dude, we can't walk out. He's like, well, isn't it over? And I'm like, no, like, well, we already saw the missing scene. I'm like, dude, they might go out for shawarma again. And he didn't know what I was talking about because he has never seen the shawarma scene.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is the best scene in the history of Marvel movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I will say, and I hope they do this for Black Panther, we've seen his origin.
Yeah.
We don't need to know anything else. He's already there, right? Like, we know why he's the Black... After you see Civil War, you know why he's the Black Panther now. So if the Black Panther movie comes out and it's an hour and a half of retelling, his origin is just going to be... Just jump right into it.
I can't see them doing that because the Marvel movies don't seem to be doing that. They seem to be jumping in.
And Spider-Man? Homecoming?
Ugh.
Don't even start
We don't need to see Uncle Ben die again.
No, and he doesn't need to get bitten. Mm-hmm. He's Peter Parker. Yeah. He's Spider-Man. Let's go.
Do we know who the villains in the new... in that's going to be?
No, they haven't really mentioned anything.
They haven't... You know who I'd love to see? The one I want to see the most is Kraven.
Yeah.
I want to see Kraven. My favorite Spider-Man villains have always been the Lizard and Kraven.
Yeah.
And we saw the Lizard, which was awesome.
Yeah.
I'd love to see Kraven. But you know who I think would be really fun is to see Mysterio?
Yeah.
With the big... Like, he's kind of lame, but he would be so fun on the big screen. Big fishbowl. That's the problem, though. They would get rid of that fishbowl helmet.
Yeah. Yeah, they would change it. Yeah.
See, that would suck.
Yeah.
Marvel, never do Mysterio. Never. Don't touch it. Don't wreck it. Do not wreck it for us.
I mean, I have to assume that we're going to hopefully see new villains, like the Vulture or something.
Yeah.
You know, something classic.
The Vulture would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Who would we get to play the Vulture?
I don't know.
I want Anthony Hopkins. Anthony Hopkins is the Vulture. He's a little too, I guess, a little too pudgy.
Yeah.
But he'd be so much fun as the Vulture.
He needs to be skinny. And.
Yeah. But... Yeah.
I'm just going to let you guys keep talking about it because my Spider-Man mythos is lacking.
And we learned...
I really have no idea.
We learned that last Saturday. We could not believe it that Marty, and this is... We're not talking about the movie anymore. We're talking about something completely different.
All
right. Marty, and I'm going to put it out right there. Until I met Marty, I thought I knew everything there was. I thought I knew everything about comics. I didn't know anybody that knew more about comics than I did. Until I met Marty. Marty knows more about comics than I'll ever know. It is amazing the stuff that he shows me and he brings up. He's mind-blowing. But with that said, Martin had no idea what the spider signal was.
Yeah.
At all.
Now, to be fair, when was the last time it was in comics?
Back when they meant something.
I know. It was a Ditko Lee thing, but I mean, it's so classic.
Yeah.
And it was just a fact I couldn't believe. Like, that's such a...
That's the good thing about us collectors is we all have kind of our own little knowledge.
I've learned so much from just knowing you guys.
I'm not... In no way am I picking on Martin, but he also hasn't really read the Turtle books either, so...
Well, neither have I.
Yeah,
so I don't know much about Turtles, really, except for whatever I saw as a cartoon.
Yeah.
And even then, I wasn't watching it because I was just a little too old for it at that point.
Yeah.
Just a little.
But on the flip side, I mean, I knew who Captain Canuck was, mm-hmm. but I wasn't big into it, and you guys, Martin, has got me more into it. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Like, what the heck's a Canadian white? Like, if it wasn't for our buddy there, Tony, like, what's a Canadian white?
I did know about the Canadian whites. I knew about that back when I worked at Another World.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. But it's true. We all do share knowledge, and that's the exciting thing about comics. Yeah. So, also in Marvel News, you posted this on the internet right before I came here,
mm-hmm.
and it made me so excited. And I know it probably won't be anything. I know it's nothing.
Maybe just a coincidence.
It may be just a coincidence, but what magazine is it?
Glamour?
You posted it. It's a Glamour magazine.
I think of all things, yeah.
And Chloe Grace Moretz, who is one of my absolute favorite actresses working in Hollywood today. I've been following her career since she was just a little kid. She's basically dressed up as Miss Marvel. What's her?
Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel. Carol Danvers on the cover of Glamour magazine, and I'm like. And I don't know what your opinion was, but I was like, oh, my God, I would totally watch that. Aces. A little too young,
yeah.
But do it. Just do it. She is so brilliant.
I did a Google search immediately afterwards because that's not the right jacket.
No, it just looks very.
It just looks a lot like it.
It was just Newsarama trying to be.
Bleeding Cool. Rich Johnson.
Oh, was it Bleeding Cool?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, don't even get me started with these sites.
No,
I'm watching Arrow last night and. No, not Arrow. DC Legends of Tomorrow. And Comic Book Resources and Newsarama. 10 minutes before the big climax spoiled one of the endings.
Are you kidding me?
No. Like, I'm thinking, what are people doing? Anyways.
Well, that's another thing, too, though, is other news is you brought up a TV show. Everything got canceled in the last couple days.
It's been very busy.
Not everything.
Every show you love got canceled in
that's
the last 3 days, for the exception of Big Bang Theory.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
Everything. Everything's gone. Everything's been canceled.
No, not everything.
Legends of Tomorrow's coming back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Arrow's coming back.
Okay.
Flash is coming back.
Okay.
Supergirl moved to a different network and is coming back.
Does that mean that there'll be more crossovers between her and Flash?
Exactly. Definitely.
They just have to explain how they're in the same universe now.
Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is coming back.
Okay.
So the only thing that isn't coming back is something that didn't get picked up in the first place was the Mockingbird spinoff from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I think it was called Marvel's Most Wanted.
Okay. Yeah.
That didn't even, like...
It didn't even get greenlit.
Didn't even get greenlit. And then Agent Carter's not coming back.
Okay, maybe see that. Maybe that's everything to me. Because that,
yeah,
that
but just, she's... Hallie Atwell's coming back in a different show.
I know.
You'll get your fix.
Okay,
there.
As long as I get my fix. Unfortunately, also the CW Archie series has been greenlit.
Yes, it
for
has.
For a full season. I saw that and thought of you.
God. I just want to slit my throat. I am hoping it dies so fast. It is going to wreck the face of Archie Comics. Things at Archie's bad enough as it is right now, but everything I've heard about Riverdale, everything from the casting to the plot to the interactions, I mean, like, Betty's a drug addict, Veronica's poor... Yeah. Archie sleeping with his music teacher.
What do you mean drug addict? Really?
Yeah, and she's a cutter.
What?
I'm serious.
They're just trying to bring it into the
time, Josie and the Pussycats are black. Kevin Keller's a sex maniac. Reggie's an alcoholic. I mean, and Jughead is Archie's arch nemesis and emo and hearing impaired and played by one of the Sprouse twins.
What? Circling the drain.
You know what I mean? Like, it's literally like they decided to, we're going to make an Archie show, but we're just going to make our own show and just give Archie characters to
just call them Archie, but they're not really.
But they're not really Archie.
Well, that's insane.
I know. I think the big thing is the fact that Archie's sleeping with his music teacher and blackmailing her. It's like, what? That's not Archie. That is not Archie. But whatever. What do I know? I'm not a TV exec. I just read comics, you know, so. Obviously, I'm not, you know, I don't know the way these things work.
Did you also see that Mr. Booster Gold's getting his own movie
I did see that. How exciting is that?
Yeah. That's been confirmed, too.
Yeah, and you know it's going to be a Deadpool-type thing. Because Booster's quirky, so they'll try to copy the Deadpool formula with them.
Yeah.
Who would you think? We've talked about this before, but who do you think would do a good Booster Gold out there?
I don't know, but
Nathan Fillion.
Apparently, Nathan Fillion has some time on his hands because Castle's also been canceled.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so, but you kind of saw that coming.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been a while, right? Yeah. But
yeah. Mind you, that's not comic books.
No,
no.
But
well, kind of, sort of. They made a comic book about it.
Yeah,
well,
based on the novel. Yeah.
Everything's being canceled. Everything in the world. Every TV series you ever loved is not coming.
Is
back.
Grey Anatomy. Grey's Anatomy still on?
Oh yeah, it's still on. Oh. I'm a half a season behind on it though.
Now they have.
That's horrible.
Somebody has picked up Powerless from DC.
Yes, DC's Powerless has been called the series.
Which I'm not familiar. Like I'm not.
Basically, what is it's going to be an office style sitcom.
Yeah.
Like The Office.
Yeah.
And it's a bunch of insurance adjusters that are dealing with all the damage that's get caused by superhero battles and stuff.
So damage control.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's based
kind
on
of, the, except damage control is the Marvel property, and what they do is they actually go in and fix things.
Yeah.
This is just going to be in an office where they're dealing with.
And it's going to star, and I really like her. I mean, a lot of people don't like her. Oh my goodness.
Huggins.
Yeah, Vanessa Hudgens.
Yeah.
I've seen interviews with her before, and she's
Amanda. Amanda Huggenkiss.
No,
Amanda Huggenkiss?
No, it's Vanessa.
I need Amanda Huggenkiss.
But you know what? I've seen some interviews with her, and she's so fun. She's such a funny, peppy girl, up for everything. And I've also seen some movies with her in the last while. Her, you know, I've graduated from the Disney kids movies and more adult films. She's not a bad actress.
She's in adult films?
Oh, yeah, a few. Not adult. You do get to see her. She's pretty hot in that Sucker Punch.
Oh, yes,
you ever want to sit through the most dreariest, most depressing movie of all time with hot chicks, Sucker Punch.
Sucker Punch, yeah.
That's right.
Oh, my.
Yeah, but I suggest you don't.
Wasn't that young lady involved in one of them theft of the smartphone pictures, too? And
Yeah. I remember that. But she was young. Like, that's basically
key. Good thing them apples are secure.
Ooh, yeah.
But it also has one of the guys from Community.
Fellow from Community, Alan Tudyk is going to be in it.
Alan Tudyk's in it.
He's actually going to be in Ottawa. That's something else we got to talk about tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow.
But Alan's going to be in it. He's going to be the boss. He's the witless son of the owner.
Born
with a silver spoon and doesn't know how to do anything. So it might be fun.
Yeah.
Now the promo image showed Crimson Fox on the outside of the window, and Vanessa's looking at her going, you know, oh.
I love Crimson Fox.
So I think there's going to be some interesting little cameos.
That's so
there,
fun. Crimson Fox was such a great character, and they killed her off twice. I don't know if anybody remembers that. Crimson Fox was two twin sisters.
Yeah, yeah.
And they killed her twice. Yeah, that's...
I just remember her from Justice League International.
Yeah, that's when they killed her the first time. They killed her. She was in love with Metamorpho.
Yeah.
And then they killed her, and Metamorpho was really sad. So then his twin sister came, but wasn't in love with Metamorpho. And then they killed the twin sister in Starman. Yeah, there was
Starman, the one with the cane, or the
one with the cane, like the, what do you call it?
Because they had the one no James, eyes, Roger.
Oh,
Stern
James Robinson's, yeah, James Starman. Robinson? Yeah, yeah, she was killed in the.
Not much happened with the Starman before that.
No,
he had no eyeballs. And wasn't it Roger Stern wrote it?
Yeah, you know what the problem is? That Starman had a mullet.
Well, it was denied.
Then that's why
they all had
nobody wants
in
to look at his mullet. He had like this Steve Perry mullet.
Yeah,
so it was. Danny Pudi, which is Abed Nadir from Community.
Okay.
Abed, that's the name of
the show. What's the other fellow's name?
Which other
fellow? Troy. Troy and Abed in the Morning.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I like that show. That was a pretty good show.
I mean, a good show.
It kind of got a little weird towards the end, but the G.I. Joe episode.
Oh, G.I. Joe was really amazing.
That was
so
best.
Much fun. I was about to say that, but you beat me too.
I didn't even watch the G.I. Joe cartoon because it's just a little bit too old for it, but that was the best episode ever.
Yeah.
That was great.
How do you guys keep missing?
There you go.
Just shoot it like this.
Pew, pew. Anyways.
On a related kind of topic, Adult Swim is doing... Robot Chicken Walking Dead.
Yeah, I heard that.
Oh, no kidding, so, eh?
Apparently there's
already
an episode.
I have an entire stack of Migos. They're more than welcome to disfigure and film with. So if you guys, with Seth there, if you got problems with stock and stuff, let me know. I got tons that you can play with.
I guess there was one short called Zombie Love that they did a while back, which I watched today. It was funny. But
there you go.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll have... regulars doing voices and stuff.
I'm sure it'll be a bit chaotic and crazy.
It'll be like the Star Wars and the DC ones
yeah
that they did
So, Chris.
Yes.
What are you doing tomorrow morning?
Tomorrow morning, I'm getting up very early. I will be at Martin's house at 6 a.m., and we are traveling to Ottawa.
That seems like a really ridiculous thing to do. Why are we doing this?
Well, Mr. Collins recommended it, apparently.
Yes. Danny boy, he decided all of a sudden, spur of the moment. This is kind of weird for Dan, because he doesn't usually do this kind of thing. He was just like, what do you guys think about driving 6 hours in one day and going to the Ottawa Comic Convention?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, sure.
So, yeah, we're going to the Ottawa Comic Con. I know you and I, Sam, talked about going there once or twice.
We did talk about going, and I wanted to, and I thought a lot about it, and I just got such a busy weekend, plus... Honestly, I just don't have the cash for it at the moment. So, unfortunately, I'm going to be missing out. I think the next Comic-Con, honestly, I don't think I'll be at a Comic-Con until Hamilton.
Really?
Yeah.
You're not going to get to Niagara?
It doesn't look like it. Unless I get a check in the mail in the next 3 weeks, which
I didn't
most
buy any tickets.
Won't.
I didn't buy any tickets for Hamilton yet because they moved it to the mountain.
Right? I know.
So
I know.
I don't know how well that's going to
go. And actually, for anybody...
You can take a bus.
If anybody out there needs a ticket for Niagara Comic Con, I have one. I'll sell you. It's $35. I'll let go of it for $25.
There you go.
There you go.
You know...
Ottawa was $50 for Saturday.
For some of us.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Mr. VIP package.
Now, let me ask you a question. Do you guys have solid plans in Ottawa? Things you're going
to
do that
whatsoever.
Day?
None whatsoever.
My only plan is that when Martin and Dan start fighting over comics, I'm going to pretend not to know them whatsoever.
Okay. Okay, because there is something that I potentially want, would like somebody to pick up if they're willing to do it. But if you're not willing to do it would involve standing in line.
Oh, autographs?
No, it is an autograph.
Okay,
that's fine then.
I'm
not even going to go there then. Okay, moving on.
But Mark Shane Bloom's going to be there from Northgard.
Cool.
I was thinking of taking that Northgard cover that I found from Dan Day, show it to him.
That's cool.
And have a chat with him, have a conversation. Because he's going to, Collins has been trying to line up an interview with him for the show.
Yep.
So we've got the Skype going and everything. It's kind of funny. I'm just sitting there minding my own business. All of a sudden, Skype goes off at work, and I'm like, what is this? And there's Mark Shane Bloom. He was testing his Skype at his mother's house to make sure it worked. Oh, this is cool. Yeah, sure. No problem. I'm not doing anything.
Great.
So he's going to be there.
Andrew's going to be there.
Andrew Thomas from ARC is going to be there, so we're going to say hi to him.
And don't forget Dan Parent and Fernando Ruiz from Die Kitty Die. They're going to be there as well.
We'll have a chat with them,
This will be their first convention since they've announced going over to... Chapter House.
Now, as weird as that announcement hit me at first, I think it's awesome.
Oh, so do I. Like, I'm so excited.
You know, I'm a big Chapter House fanatic nowadays because... They're honest to goodness. Right now, I'm getting more Chapter House books than Marvel and DC, right? And it's the Captain Canuck, the all new Captain Canuck, Chapter House Archives, Captain Canuck, Chapter House Archives, Northgard, you know, Life, Death, and that other new book that's coming out, Fourth Planet, which I brought today, is amazing. I really like that one from Fred Kennedy and crew. So I'm really kind of okay. They're not Canadian. And they're at a Canadian publisher that is, like, really trying hard to push a Canadian identity. So that I was like, but then, you know, it's like, no, wait. These guys are fun, and they like what they're doing, and it's a good book. It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be the whole Chapter House thing. Is let's put out a lot of fun stuff.
And it's amassed a huge cult fan base already.
Yeah, exactly.
Within 3 months and not even having a physical issue, and there's already... It has a cult following.
Now, I was reading Fernando's he did a little interview about why they chose Chapter House, and he was
really?
Saying
I
that...
Oh, really? I didn't read it.
Yep, and he was saying that they have quite a few projects in mind, a few things they want to go, a few directions they want to go. There's something about possibly doing, like, a variant month where all the Chapter House books in a certain month are going to have Dan Perrin and Fernando Ruiz variant covers.
How fun will that be?
Now, that's maybe, like, you know, this was just kind of stuff that they threw around that, you know,
you know, the other, I'll say the other thing, too, and I don't want to go into details, but I know, because I know the guys, is I know that Chapter House was not the first company talking to them.
Yeah.
When I was talking to them at Toronto, they threw out another company, and I'm not going to say which one it was, but it's an American company, and it's quite popular. And very, very popular, actually. Yep. And they basically told me that was a done deal. And then all of a sudden, I almost want to know. Do you wonder if Chapter House? The Chapter House booth was really close to them at Fan
according,
Expo.
According to Fernando's little interview that he did, he said that at Toronto Comic Con, they got introduced to the Chapter House guys, and they had a conversation with them, and they really liked the way things went, and it just seemed like a more synergistic that these guys understand what we want to do. They want to give us the freedom to do what we want to do, and it seems like the right fit.
Yeah, I think it's great, and I think it's going to be good for Chapter House. It's going to introduce Chapter House to a much more international audience because there's already so many American fans that are watching this book.
Yeah, yeah.
So when they go to the Chapter House page in previews to order Die Kitty Die, they're going to see all these other products, these books that the American audience may not have seen.
You just cannot not be happy for a Canadian company doing well in that tight market.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we had Aerosol back in the 90s and stuff, and they did fairly well, but there was a little niche-y kind of books. But the fact that Chapter House is, right there in Diamond, and it's got lots of stuff and a nice wide variety of books. It's not just... how they started republishing Captain Canuck. So it's really cool. I think it's going to be great.
I think it's great too. Yeah.
And it just means there's another Chapter House book that I'm adding to my monthly pull list. So.
I did a tally recently, and I'm still not... Marvel and DC, I'm kind of equal with what I'm buying, but I find that if you took my Image books and my Aftershock books and mashed them together, I'm buying more Image and Aftershock as, let's say, one lump group than I am Marvel and DC. So that seems to be where my loyalty is now starting to go towards.
Now, one thing I've been noticing about the Aftershock books is they're really good. They're fantastic comics. Mm-hmm. I love them. But if you look at the sales numbers, it seems like they're having a little bit of an inertia problem, because they're not Image. If these same titles were being published by Image, I think their sales numbers would be higher, which is a shame because Aftershock, I mean, the books have all come out on time. Ooh. They're printed on,
Zero Girls had some problems.
Oh, they're already up to issue 6.
I don't. I only have I don't have 6 issues of that.
I guarantee. I'm positive I have 5.
I don't have number 5.
I'm positive 5.
How am I not getting these?
I don't know. 5's in my.
Oh my god! Can I buy them off you?
I'll see if I can find you a copy of 5. Is that the only one you're missing?
No, I think I'm missing 4 too.
Well, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Okay, so when I get home tonight, I'll message you which issues I need, and can you see if you can find them in Ottawa for me? Great. Do you want the money right now?
No.
Okay. Because I got the money if you want it right now.
Like they've got a great creative team and stuff like this, and it just seems like you're not Image, and it's just like the Vertigo books that just came out. Now the Vertigo books that just came out, some of them are a bit questionable, some of them are okay.
I'm down to I was reading a lot of them at first. I'm down to reading one now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
which is Unfollow, which has been solid.
The Aftershock books all seem pretty darn solid.
Oh god, Second Sight is one of my absolute favorite books right now. By Aftershock, I just love Second Sight. It is such a compelling story with amazing characters. Have you guys, either of you, been reading it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Reading it?
I think I've read 1 and 2.
For those who don't know, it's about a guy. They're in England, aren't they? Yeah, they're definitely British. And it's this guy, and he can actually see through the eyes of killers. And he was, but he hasn't worked with the police or anything in decades because that was really stressful for him. And his daughter uncovers this secret... ring of pedophiles in the British government, and she's trying to go after them, and of course because of this she's in danger, and then her father with this clairvoyant power is trying to not just put away the bad guys but also protect his daughter. And his daughter's she's like maybe early 20s, and it's very British. It's very cool. I don't even know who's writing it, but it's just it's such a compelling, it's almost like a horror crime supernatural thing. It's really a fantastic book.
Yeah, I'm not sure what they could do more to get those numbers up there. Like, they're advertising in the trade press. They've got a great website, and the creators that they've got are top notch, and they're pushing the books on Twitter and on Facebook and stuff.
Mark Waid has a new book coming out there. Garth Ennis is with them. Jimmy Palamati and Amanda Connor.
Exactly.
Adam Glass. Garth Ennis. I mean, just some of the biggest names in the industry.
Now, the other thing maybe is that, they're... their numbers aren't image numbers, mm-hmm. but maybe they're okay with that. It's like maybe. A, you know, a small brewery's okay just getting X amount of bottles out the door.
Brian Azzarello?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's doing American Monster. Yeah. But also, they got to pay these people.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah. I heard a rumor that Gail Simone has a book coming out with them.
There you go.
So, you know.
I was totally on board to get these books and read them, but I missed them.
Yeah.
And I don't look through previews.
Well, see, that's the other thing is that not all comic shops have took a chance on them. Like, nobody in Peterborough ordered them in.
No. No.
CBA only ordered in if somebody asked for them.
And I did ask and didn't get them.
Worlds Collide is the only comic shop that I know of in the area that got extras in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of course, there's Gotham Central Collectibles in Mississauga, Carlos, mm-hmm. but. You know, that's a little bit further away, but he's always had issues. Yeah. And that's where I went to get my...
That's where that's when I got my last Zero Hero or Hero... What's that book called?
Super Zero.
Super Zero was when we went there. I haven't seen an issue since.
Yeah, like last time I was there, he had an entire long box full of back issues, like that Insects title. I didn't try that one. Mm-hmm.
But I think one of the reasons why I missed it is because... I go to Midtown Comics for their weekly releases.
Yeah.
And you've got, you know, you go DC, mm-hmm. Image, Marvel, Other. Mm-hmm. And I usually stop at Marvel, right?
I do the same thing you do, but I scour the other section too. So
But now I know it's the others are alphabetical by publisher. Aftershock is right near the top.
Right? See, that's one thing that I always did was when I got my previews, right? Like, you always found out on the web earlier what was coming out and stuff. So I already knew DC, Marvel, Image, basically what's coming out, what I want, blah, blah, blah. And then when the previews would come out, it'd be like, okay, I'm going to take a closer look, read the synopsis. Mm-hmm. Are these books I want to continue? But I always said I'm going to get at least one new title from the sort of the back of the book, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. That's when I picked up that letter 44, which was pretty good for a little while.
Yeah, I remember like that for a
while. You know, and you kind of find some strange and unusual titles in there. Garth Ennis's War Stories was in there. I can't remember who the publisher was, whether it was Avatar or somebody else. So you kind of go through the back of the book and just kind of look and hunt for some extra stuff. And if you did, you got rewarded by this big two-page, you know, Aftershock thing. So,
for a while, I remember, as I said, right now, my two big publishers are Image and Aftershock, but I remember, let's go back 5 years, my big two were was Archie and Xenoscope, which is kind of hilarious because they're the totally opposite. You can't get two brands more further apart. But because of creative changes at Xenoscope, I no longer buy Xenoscope books, and Archie, I still buy my Archie books out of loyalty, but there was one point where they were putting out 8 to 10 Archie books a month, and now they're down to 3. Yeah. And actually 2. Well, actually 1.5. It depends what their schedule is. Don't even get me started on the new Betty and Veronica. Have you guys heard the thing about the new Betty and Veronica book?
Yep.
Okay, let me ask your opinions as guys that know comics. Okay. So they have a new Betty and Veronica book coming out being drawn by Adam Hughes.
Oh, wait.
You don't know about this?
It is being written by Adam Hughes.
Oh, it's being
drawn by Adam Hughes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Inked by Adam
Hughes. Yes.
Covers by Adam Hughes.
Colored by Adam Hughes.
Now
he's doing the whole thing.
Now here's the thing is that an insider at Archie Comics, not going to name any names, Fernando Ruiz, told me, who's actually not at Archie Comics anymore, so and said, and boy, if you want to read some funny stuff, get on Fernando Ruiz's Facebook, because he is no holds barred by what he thinks of Archie Comics these days. And he's very funny. But he said that in February, when he was there, Adam Hughes had not started the book.
Right.
Ouch.
Now, it is, it's out for, I think, the first issue, and it's a monthly series.
Well, the first issue is July or June?
July. Okay. July. And he didn't start in February. Now, we know Adam Hughes's general work schedule. Yeah. What is the chance of there ever being a number two?
Well, I think that's the other reason why, because it was announced way back when.
Yeah.
Like they said they were going to do this back in the fall.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the reasons why it's taken so long is because they want to get 3 or 4 issues in the can, so to speak, before they come out. Now, do they have that? I don't know.
Apparently they don't. Now, rumor has it they don't.
Now, can you blame Archie for doing a Marvel thing and making sure that, you know, Secret Wars isn't finished and now the rebirths coming out, and all of a sudden Justice League number 52 story is coming out in issue 51 because it's a prelude to Teen Titans, mm-hmm. and it has to come before the Teen Titans comic comes, and okay. then they're going to print issue 51 story in issue 50. What on earth? Like, come on.
I predict. My
Stop soliciting stuff that isn't ready.
That's pretty much what the rumor mill has about the new Betty Veronica book. Everybody's excited. But my prediction, by what I know, is that there will be one issue this year. There will be a second issue next January 2017. And then they will quickly give it to, like, I don't know, David LePam or something.
Already,
you know what I mean?
Already, like, it's got a better publishing schedule than that Sabrina book of theirs.
Oh, I know. Well, they do have two planned this summer.
Woo!
Well, that's the problem.
Talk about killing enthusiasm. I really liked that book. It was like The Chilling Tales of Sabrina.
Yeah,
it was a little bit spookier. And I really liked it. But all of a sudden, it's like, okay, here's issue one. And here's issue two. And can I have issue three? No. Here's the solicitation for issue three. Yeah. What?
Yeah. Well, same with the Afterlife with Archie too, right?
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
What's going on? And actually, there was a really good joke about it in the latest issue of Die Kitty Die. Is that the Archie? What's going on in Archie? They love announcing stuff.
Yeah.
They love announcing stuff. They don't actually have a game plan to actually make that stuff happen, but they love announcing it. Like the woman who wrote the TV series Girls. I can't think what her name is.
Yeah. Lena Dunham.
Lena Dunham. They announced about 2 years ago Lena Dunham was writing an Archie comic.
Yes, they did.
Where is it?
Yeah.
You know, what happened to the Archie Meets the Ramones? Yeah. What happened to that project? You know what I mean? Like, Archie loves to announce it. There was supposed to be a third Archie horror comic, which was announced over a year ago.
Yeah.
Where is it? Right? Yeah. Archie, but it's not just Archie that does that. It's so many companies do that.
Doesn't Kevin Smith still have like a Black Cat Spider-Man comic that never got finished?
No.
Oh, no, it was finished.
It was finished.
It was finished, and finished badly, I might add. Yeah. I think I sold those at my dollar sale. Yeah. No, he did
but
finish
they canceled for the record. Some kind of a Mark Miller book or something recently that...
Yeah, I don't know.
I know what you're talking. Kevin Smith started a Bullseye series for Marvel, did one issue, and the rest of it was supposed to be a six-parter.
Yeah.
Did one issue, and it's been like a decade or something, and but it was a Bullseye book.
And that Image United comic never finished either.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, you know what? Mm-hmm. Like, just don't bother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got Civil War II coming, and I'm all worried that it's going to pull a Secret Wars, and you know, the issues are going to be late, and it's going to be.
I'm not even. You're actually buying that?
No, I have literally dropped every single Marvel comic book except for Guardians of the Galaxy and Black Panther.
Talking about Secret Wars.
No, you can't. It's a secret.
Well, talking about Secret Wars, was I the only one who ever thought the Beyonder kind of looked like Patrick Duffy?
Oh, the original Secret Wars.
Yeah.
Well, he had that.
He looked
in the 80s.
He was totally Patrick Duffy. Yeah. Like you expect.
If the color of his skin was a little darker, I'd say he had a Jerry curl. But,
like you just expect one day Carol Danvers is going to wake up and go to the bathroom. There's going to be the Beyonder in her shower. It was all a dream.
Well, you think that's bad? You read Secret Wars 2. That was just.
I missed that.
I didn't watch it. I didn't read it.
For whatever reason, I had that on my want list. I finally got it, and I'm reading it. Going, why am I reading this? It's horrible.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes but, like you dig in some of those old series and you're just that was when I got Karate Kid. I was
talk
a big,
about the Karate Kid. I love
this. I was a big,
this.
Huge, massive Legion Superheroes fan, right?
Yeah.
So when I got on this Bronze Age kick of trying to collect some of the Bronze Age series that I missed, first one was Karate Kid. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna get Karate Kid. Yeah, it's gonna be great. First issue, he saves somebody. He stops a bank robbery.
Okay, we gotta go. We gotta just. I don't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah, yeah.
But we just gotta let the listeners, just in case they don't know that the premise of the Karate Kid went from the future.
Yeah, he's
to
Legion
the past.
Of Legion of Superheroes.
Yes.
So he's from the
23rd. He's not Daniel Russo.
He's from the 23rd century.
Yes.
And he got zapped back in time in the 70s to modern times.
Yes.
So he's trapped there. No friends, no family, no cash, no driver's license, nothing because he's from the future, right? Mm-hmm. So he stops this bank robbery and the city gives him a stipend reward that will allow him to get an apartment for saving the bank. And I'm like thinking to myself, how much money in that bank did he save? Is the insurance company paying for this? Is the city hall doing this?
I really wish. I really wish I could get a stipendiate reward.
And, you know, the dialogue is just atrocious and such corny 70s slang.
I felt the same way.
The art was just horrendous.
And the book came out at DC around the same time, but we were at the CBA warehouse, and I picked up a copy of ISIS Number One.
Yeah.
And I was like, not ISIS the terrorist group, ISIS the 1970s television character.
Yeah, TV show.
TV show.
That they made a comic book of.
And it was a spinoff of Shazam, wasn't it? Yeah. And so DC did a previous, and I was like, oh my God, it's ISIS Number One. I'm so excited. I brought it home. It was the worst comic I've ever read in my life. And that was around the time that they were doing Karate Kid, too. It was.
Well, Karate Kid died in the DC implosion.
Oh yeah.
So there was an unpublished. No, yeah, maybe. Mm. I'll have to think about it.
And that's when ISIS probably lost her book too.
Yeah,
it was around that time.
Oh my goodness!
My God!
You remember the DC implosion, don't you, Chris?
Yeah.
Or are you too Marvelish?
Why don't you explain to our listeners what the DC implosion was?
In the 70s, DC Comics decided to come out with a whole bunch of new comic books, so it called it the DC Explosion.
Explosion.
And they kind of
were some of the books
they brought back. New Gods.
Mm-hmm. So Teen Titans.
They continued New Gods. They brought back Teen Titans. There was Black Lightning.
Metal Man.
I can't remember if Metal Man was a little earlier or not.
Okay.
Because Metal Man came back in Showcase.
Oh, okay. Okay.
There was a few others. I'm trying to remember off the top of my
Firestorm.
Head. Firestorm. Yes. Firestorm, the original, not mm-hmm. Fury of Firestorm, but Firestorm.
Mm-hmm.
So they came out with these new titles. And
there was some announced. A Green Team was announced.
Yeah, there's a bunch announced.
Vixen, which they eventually put into Justice League.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I guess things didn't go so well, so they canceled a whole whack of titles, you know, right in the middle of the storyline, just dropped them like crazy, and everybody nicknamed that the DC Implosion because mm-hmm. of this big advertising campaign.
But that's when two of the most... valuable of the Bronze Age books that have ever been published came out from DC. It was called Canceled Comics Cavalcade.
Yeah, that was basically what it was just a photocopied remnant of the arts of the art that they put together for copyright purposes. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really distributed, so they call that an ash can. Mm-hmm. Right?
But I mean, they're out there and they're very, very valuable.
They're very valuable.
You know what? I wish they would publish those as a trade paperback.
Well, I'm not going to say anything, but I know somebody, Martin Bruna, who has pirated copies of the Canceled Comics Cavalcade, so you can read them on your tablet and your legitimately purchased pirating comic book application.
Well, I'd really like to get a copy of that, Martin.
I'm pretty sure DC will not come after me for distributing a 1970s ash can that's not in published.
Well, we know what we should talk about before we run out of time. Boy, this has gone by quick, eh?
Yeah, we got about 15 minutes.
We got 15 minutes.
I got a text message from Mr. Collins. He's very excited for Ottawa.
Oh, he's very excited. You know why he's excited for Ottawa? He wants to go comic bin diving for French comic books.
That's right. That's right. And just to go back, the only good thing about in Secret Wars 2, in my opinion, was it was the first appearance of Tabitha Smith, also known as Boom Boom.
Who? Oh, I love her.
Who?
Boom Boom.
If you read X Factor.
She was one of the X Terminators.
Yeah. If you read X Factor when it first came out.
Yeah.
And X Terminators.
Yeah. She's the one with the balls that she throws. The skateboard glasses.
Yeah.
Okay. I remember her.
It was Boom Boom, Rusty, Skids, Richter, and Artie and Leech.
Yep.
Yeah, because Richter made it into X Force, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. No, Richter was an X Factor later on.
Whatever happened to Rusty and Skids?
I haven't seen those guys
since the 90s
in a while. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah,
but anyway, I was just finishing.
That's
off
fine. But so, yes. Yeah, what we should talk about real quick is there was an absolute devastating announcement in the comic book industry today.
Heart wrenching,
and it's awful. And it's the fact that Darwin Cook, who is one of the greatest comic book artists of our era, is in palliative care for cancer.
Yeah,
and that means
it's not.
No,
good.
He didn't.
It's not good.
He didn't draw a lot.
But what he did, he did that
DC Comics New Frontier, mm-hmm. which was just absolutely gorgeous.
Twilight Children, which was his last,
Twilight Children. But that New Frontier where it reintroduced the Silver Age stuff and the art.
I have action figures from that. And I have a personal Darwin Cook story. Have you guys met him?
No.
I've met him twice.
There you go.
Okay. But I have,
that's because you stand in line for autographs while we dig around in comic bins.
That's right.
But I have a personal story which I want to share, and this means a lot to me. He got to the point where he wasn't really doing sketches too much. Like, he would do like a pool, right, where you do like 2-3 sketches a day. Hmm. And I'm lucky enough to have 2 sketches by him.
Nice.
But one came very special. He used to go to Toronto a lot. Toronto was one of his stops very often. And one time I was in the autograph line to get the New Frontier. He wasn't doing any. I think he'd already done his 2-3 sketches or whatever for the weekend. And a fight broke out in the line. And in the front of me, there was these guys. Like, there in the back behind me, there was these guys, and they were kind of like your typical stereotypical nerds. You know, like, they were the Big Bang Theory guys, right? Yeah. But in the front were a bunch of bros, right? Oh, yeah. That, you know, they never really knew much about comics. Yeah. Well, the bros kept getting, I guess it was one guy in line, but all of a sudden, you know, 10 other bros showed up. And yeah, just the bro and the line just got stupid, right?
Yeah.
And the little nerdy guys behind me were getting real upset. And they started to kind of
mouth off
and lip. And all of a sudden, before you knew it, the bro, you know, there was pushing, there was shoving, there was swearing.
Sam's right in the middle.
And I was right in the middle on crap. Well, I got in there. I'm in the middle, right? And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Hey, everybody calm down. Everybody calm down. What's going on? Okay, who's, you know, who really needs to be here? Who's here for an autograph? Who's just here yapping? What's going on? Let's get this back in order. And this is before Fan Expo security could come in and take over. So I got in the middle of it. I organized it. I was like, okay, you guys, like, go look at t-shirts or something, and you guys, and then I even put the nerdy guys right in front of me. Like, okay, you guys are next in line.
Right.
You know, I'll stand back. Well, Darwin Cook saw what happened, and when I got to his table, he said, hey, that was really great. What character do you want me to draw for you?
Perfect.
And he was doing Catwoman at the time, the Catwoman book, and I said, can you draw me Selina Kyle, classic 60, you know, purple dress Selina Kyle? And he just did this quick couple of brush strokes, but it was just beautiful. Silver Age Catwoman. And then months later, through somebody, I was able to be one of his sketches. And he did me a free Black Canary, I guess, a couple of years later. So
right on.
Perfect. I'm very lucky. But I mean, I just, he was just so cool to recognize, see me, calm things down, and then just say, that was great. Let me
zip
something out to you. So that's my, but God, what a talent. And cancer's taken its toll on it's such a horrible disease as it is, but you know, I had a friend die of cancer last year. I had another friend's sister just died last week, 2 weeks ago of cancer. I have another friend that's mom's dying of cancer. Bowie, you know, like and now Darwin Cook. It's really awful. So what can you say? You can say something like, you know, our prayers are with you, but, you know, it sounds the way the press release came that...
Well, palliative care, that by definition. Yeah,
that's just to make it as comfortable as possible.
Yeah, exactly. So it's
now, everybody that I've ever spoken to, like, today that I know of him, like you like you do, have just said he was just a stand-up guy.
Oh, amazing.
Nice guy.
So nice.
You know.
And so talented. Yeah. He
And his own really unique art style, too.
I know.
Like, I mean, you saw a Darwin Cook drawing, and you immediately went, that's Darwin Cook.
I love that image that you posted today on Facebook with the superheroes in the cafe.
Yeah, that was good.
It was so nice. And he captured the spirit of those characters, the Martian Manhunter sitting on the roof, Robin and Wonder Girl sitting, you know, on the curb, Superman and Lois in the distance kissing on the rooftop.
Exactly.
You know, he and I loved even in the New Frontier where he made you want to read more Challengers of the Unknown comics. That was some of the best stuff he did. You know, Dinosaur Island, and he just had a love for that era and made it come alive again.
Now, he did the Green Lantern in the Wednesday's comics, didn't he?
Yes. Yeah, he did.
Because that was like a real highlight of that little experiment of theirs. That was really good.
You know what I would have loved to have seen him do is Blackhawk.
Oh my goodness.
Can you imagine him on a Blackhawk book?
But like, you know, Silver Age Blackhawk.
That's what I'm saying.
Let's go back and like, because that seemed to be what his talent was, right?
Mm-hmm. He did have the Blackhawks in the New Frontier.
Mm-hmm.
And I have his Blackhawk action figure because they did an action figure series of his drawings as well as statue series that I don't have. But the one that I bought of his action figures was the Blackhawk one because it was just so beautiful. And I would have loved to have seen him do a whole book.
And they did an animated feature based on those, right?
Yes, they did.
And they made it look, I don't know how much input he had, but it made it look like his
style. Oh, yeah, they totally did it as much in his style as possible. Yeah,
did he really do any work outside of DC? Or was he pretty much exclusive DC?
I'd have to look, but anything that I know that he did was all DC.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can't think of anything else he did anywhere else.
If anything, I would expect he'd do like a shadow cover at Dynamite or something.
Yeah.
Like that seems to be the genre that he'd be into, but I'm just guessing right now. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
That was good.
I don't know, but Twilight Children, it was him and it was one of the Fernandez brothers, wasn't it? Brothers, who did Love and Rockets?
I tried to get into that book, and I bought the first couple of issues, and I just skimmed them and didn't actually read them.
But you got to admit, the art was just gorgeous.
Yeah.
It was a little expensive, too. It was like a buck or two more than the rest of the comics. But I remember I reread it once it all came out. I read it in one sitting, and I remember thinking again how cinematic it was. Because Darwin Cook had such a... Why are we saying had?
Yeah.
Well, because he isn't going to be drawn any more comics.
It's inevitable.
Right? But it was such a cinematic scope to his work. It almost looked like a really beautiful, where you put the scenes up on the board, like a
storyboard.
And that's where, you know, when he transferred the art to New Frontier for the cartoon, that's why it was so easy to do.
Yeah.
Because he already had that cinematic quality to his work.
Yeah.
But style, class, an epic scope, and just one hell of a stand-up guy.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and then not a big body of work, but a body of work that's going to become, which is legendary already.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he was a legend in his own time. He saw that success.
On my spinner rack in my house, I've got a couple of sides where, you know, the seminal books are there.
Mm-hmm.
Watchmen's there, Legends, Return of the Dark Knight. And,
Watchmen?
Watchmen, mm-hmm. and what's the other book there? Watchmen.
Marvel.
Actually, I do have Marvels on
Marvels,
there.
Marvels? Kingdom Come?
Yeah, Kingdom Comes on there. Yeah, so those that kind of like that.
Yeah,
those seminal trade paperbacks.
We all have those.
Well, I'm pretty darn sure that New Frontier is getting moved to there.
Oh, yeah.
In short order.
Yeah, I'm so happy I got a New Frontier trade autographed. And he did do the Catwoman series I think I have some autographed issues of that, but I'm glad. But I do the only things I usually get autographed are the trades. So to know that I have a Darwin Cook, plus I have those two pieces of art framed in my bedroom.
Yeah.
So I'll bring those in sometime for you guys to see.
Two one of a kinds.
There you go.
Yeah.
So we got about 4 or 5 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
You said you wanted to maybe chat about...
Let's leave it for another show.
Another show.
Okay. Let's leave that for another show. That's a big topic. Why don't we talk about... It's been a few weeks. Why don't we talk about the cool stuff we bought in the last few weeks? The one or two books that we've really loved.
Well, I brought a stack of Canadian comics I was going to talk about.
Okay.
And obviously, we don't have time for all of them. But the one I do want to point out is from Chapter House, amazingly. it's The Fourth Planet by Fred Kennedy and Miko... You know, I'm Polish. I should be able to pronounce this, but I'm going to butcher this. Maszewski?
Okay.
Maszewski. Oh, my mother's rolling around right now, just angry at me for
skipping
Polish school.
Do your mom's voice. What's she saying?
Martin, why don't you know how to speak that better? I sent you to Polish school for many, many weeks. Why you not notice? I'm sorry, Mom.
And you know what's funny, guys? Oh, we've met his mom. She sounds exactly like that.
But it's Fourth Planet. It's a little science fiction comic from Chapter House. It's absolutely fantastic.
That
in my
just
opinion.
Came out?
Yeah. It's kind of weird because there were some preview issues at the Chapter House table.
It kind of caught
But
my
the
attention.
Actual comic itself came out in the past mm-hmm. week or so.
Okay. I'll have to look for that tomorrow, too.
Yeah.
How about you, Chris? What have you got?
I've just been picking away at stuff. Nothing too spectacular. Okay. I've missed a lot of books, but because of the topic we'll talk about later.
Yeah. Well, that'll be another show, then we'll chat about that.
My favorite thing I bought, Chris and our friend Tony, who's been on the show, had their Aunt Big Antique show a few weeks ago. Great time. You guys did well, right?
Yeah, it was good.
And Marty found for me a Cow Sills comic from Harvey Comics from 1968. I'm a huge Cow Sills fan. I've only ever seen it on the internet. I've never seen one in real life. But Cow Sills were a 60s band, had a few hits, But they did it. Harvey Comics got the rights to do a Cow Sills comic. But by the time they did it, the Cow Sills no longer had any hits.
Oh, okay.
So they did
so
the
she
one.
Floundered a little, did
they?
It?
Did, yeah, they floundered a little bit. So they did the one book, never did another issue. And I've always wanted a copy of that book because I am a fan of the band. And Marty found it for me, and I paid him back immediately. And it was it's just the greatest thing I've bought. It's my favorite comic I've bought this so far this year.
All right, excellent. Perfect. Well, like I said, we got to wind down here a little bit. So you've been listening to the Hey Kids Comics radio show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada. And we will see you guys next Friday.
Next Friday. Looking forward to it.